message that I've entitled The Standard. And the Lord had actually given me this message a few years ago, and I just felt tonight that it would be appropriate to come back to it, because I feel, church, that we go through seasons and we go through phases where we need to be reminded of certain things. Amen? How many of you know that it's never a bad thing when we are, you know, told and reminded of God's truth, of God's faithfulness, of how the Lord wants us to live, of how the Lord wants us to go about our ministry, of how the Lord just wants us to function and move in this world. Amen? And so over the next couple of weeks, I hope to bring us to the reality and the importance of community in our church and in the body of Christ. Now, I touched on this a few weeks ago. I was ministering a message, you know, called church, the body of Christ. But I believe, church, in this times that we're living in, we have to be very, very intentional. Does that make sense? We have to be intentional about the way that we are living. And I say this because it's been kind of a burden on my heart. You know, I know that we come to the house of the Lord, and I know that we come to seek God's face. I know that we have our daily prayer lives, or at least we should. Amen. How many of you prayed today? I pray that you prayed. How many of you opened the word and spent time with Jesus? Amen. How many of you communed with God today? You see, I believe, church, that sometimes we need those reminders to say that, hold on a second, I can't get caught up in the ways of this world. I cannot get caught up in life itself and miss out on time with the Lord. Miss out on communion with God. Miss out on an experience with the Lord. I believe, church, that we must give the Lord our full attention. Amen? I said, I believe that we must give God our whole attention. The fullness of who we are. We sang in this song just a minute ago, let us become more aware of your presence. That is to know that the Lord is moving, church. He's alive and he's well. He is all powerful. He's still full of authority. He's still full of goodness. He's ready to do something in your life right here and right now. God has not diminished by any stretch of the imagination. God has not become less. God has not, you know, somehow lost his power, lost his faithfulness in this season. But in fact, if we become aware of the presence of God, if we become aware of what the word is saying, if we become aware of what the Lord is doing and the things that his heart is sensitive to, church, we experience him in an entirely new way. Sometimes we think we need a new song. Sometimes we think we need a new verse. No, they're all there. All the ones that we need are already written. They're already said. Amen? Sometimes we think we need a new ministry to belong in, or we need something fresh or any of these things. And the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We just need Jesus. Amen? We just need the Lord. And I was moved today. I was watching a television show and had a little time to rest before service. And I was watching this show, and it actually just really, really moved me, this portion of the show. This family took their children to go and minister and rebuild a home of a person that had a child with severe needs. The child was handicapped, and they needed, you know, a handicap accessible restroom, and they needed, you know, things to make that child comfortable in the home. And I was watching as this family, you know, they were joking around and they were doing some stuff, but they were painting walls and they were putting down a floor and they were throwing out trash. And this woman had, you know, had the opportunity to leave her home for like 4 or 5 days while they were just doing this work in their home. And finally, when they brought the family back in, like, I saw this lady and something just really touched me. They were presenting to her the child's new bathroom. And it was really open, you know, there was basically like a shower, but with no floor so that they could push the wheelchair in. And there was like this special table for their child to be able to lay on it. And you know, they were telling the woman about all the new features of this restroom and how comfortable it would now be for this child. And I actually started weeping for a moment, because though the generosity was amazing, It was such a powerful act, you know, and they poured into the life of this woman so that she could care for her child. My heart was burdened just for a moment because I knew that they were going to leave and she was going to have to do it on her own. You see, church, I believe that the heart of God is sensitive to every one of our needs. Amen? How many of you know that the Lord knows what you need? The Lord knows what you need to hear. The Lord knows what your tomorrow holds. He knows. And he's sensitive to our needs, but sometimes we become desensitized to the needs of others. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in making sure we're okay that we lose sight of what the Lord has called us to do and how the Lord has called us to represent him in this world. How many of you know that the Lord has called us, church, to represent him to? We are the hands and the feet of Christ. Amen? These hands have the power to touch, to bless, to give. The power to release the authority of God. These feet can take us to places. These feet can strengthen the life of somebody else. They can take the gospel so that somebody else can hear the truth of God's word. And sometimes, church, we get so wrapped up in our own bubble. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own just trying to be saved and our own working out our salvation that sometimes we overlook that there is a world that is still hurting and in need of Jesus. If we were truly in touch with the heart of God, we would not stay silent. If we were truly in touch with the heart of God, we would not stay silent, church. We would walk in this world with a burden that we had to get this word out. Ezekiel said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones that I cannot contain. You know, right now, you know, before the service is over, we need to pray for the Northwest of America. They're experiencing temperatures that they've never experienced in their life. Like 115, 118 degrees. It's insane in the Northwest. And I have a brother that actually lives in Portland, Oregon, where the average temperature is probably like 60 year round. And it's always wet. It's never like anything. But I actually was reached out to by a few people that live up in Canada, in Vancouver, which is in the Northwest, you know, north of like the Washington area. And they asked for prayer. They said, hey, listen, Pastor, there's fires going on because right now it's so dry. The forest, you know, every year in the summer in the Northwest, there's just forest fires that run amok and that the temperature is so hot that the people can't stand it. Now, we might, you know, laugh as South Texans because we're used to hot weather. They're not. And again, I say, church, that we have to be aware of our surroundings. We have to be aware of what people are dealing with in this world. And we have to be able to take the gospel there to them. Amen? I believe there's so much division that abides in our society from every single level and every single thing that you can think of. There's so many things that there's division in the church. There's division in religion. There's division in economics and social, you know, things, in political things, obviously. And I believe because these issues exist, and we see division, it's the world and the enemy is trying to set a new standard for the church. The enemy is trying to do something, church, where he gets us wrapped up in his web, that we lose sight of the whole mission that Jesus has left us here on this earth for. How many of you know that we are missionaries in this world? We're not of this world, church. I said, you and I are not of this world. We're not supposed to be so wrapped up in this world that we have forgotten about what he has called us to do. If the Lord called us home tonight, if he called us home in the next 5 minutes, could we truly have peace in our heart and in our life, knowing that we've done everything that we could to take the gospel to our family, take the gospel to our neighbors, take the gospel to those that are around us? Could we truly walk in peace, or have we been so self-immersed in us that we've lost sight of the mission of God, that we've lost sight of what God has called us to do? I say that the enemy is trying to set a new standard for this world and for the church, and we cannot be deceived, church. How many of you know that deceit happens when you don't know what God's word says? Every time since the very beginning, all you got to do is go back to Genesis and read how Eve was deceived and understand that she should have known what God had told her. But because she hadn't meditated on God's word, because she didn't understand what it was that God had said, and she allowed the enemy to twist God's words, what happened? She fell. And we are living in a moment in time, church, where we cannot be laxed. I say that with urgency, church. We cannot be laxed in our spirit any longer. We cannot be lax. We cannot be comfortable. You've got the word, and guess what? The Bible says, church, if you don't know what it says, you better know what it says. The Bible says that by our words, we will one day either be acquitted or we will be condemned. There is no excuse that God will accept for a sleeping church. None. He will not accept it. He will either say, well done, good and faithful servant, or he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. But Lord, we cast out demons in your name. But Lord, we laid hands on the sick. Oh, but Lord, I ran a ministry in the church. Don't you remember me, Lord? He says, no, no, no. Depart from me, you evildoer. What does it go on to say? He said, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick, you tended to me. Lord, when did we ever see you hungry, naked, or sick? He said, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. You did it unto me. Church, it's not a time to be lazy. How many of you have a phone? Get your phone out. Anybody have your phone? I know you have it. You better not be on Facebook right now. If you are, you better be commenting on this message saying, oh, Pastor Duke's just preaching fire. I'll give you like 2 seconds to do that. But otherwise, listen, you have a device in your hands that has so much power, but yet can be so distracting. It can be so powerful because you could download like 50 Bibles on here if you want to. You could have a Bible in every language that you know how to speak. You could have a Bible in every translation that you know how to speak. You can literally carry the Word of God with you 24/7 wherever you go. You think God's going to give us any kind of leeway? He's gonna grade on a curve? No, he's not. He's not. I say, church, that the enemy is doing everything that he can to implement what he wants to implement in this world. And dare I say that the church must be living up to that same intensity, that same urgency, to raise the banner of Jesus as our agenda. To raise the banner of Jesus in our society once again to say, it doesn't matter what the world thinks about me anymore. I'm not here for my own gain. I'm not here for my own popularity. I'm not here for my own, you know, things that I do in this life. I am here to serve you, Jesus. I believe that there is one common denominator amongst everybody that is present here tonight. It's not our age. It's not how many hairs we have on our head. It's not our origin, our race, or background. The one common denominator of everyone in here tonight should be Jesus. Jesus. You're here because of who? I said, you're here because of who? Jesus. We are here because of Jesus. Amen? We are here because we want Jesus. Jesus Christ, church, must be the standard. If you open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 2, I want us to just look at these few verses. I can kind of just break this down for you. Numbers chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says that the Lord says to Moses and Aaron, he says, the Israelites are to camp around the tent of meeting some distance from it, and each man under his standard with the banners of his family. It goes on to say, on the east towards the sunrise, the divisions of the camp of Judah are to encamp under their standard. It says, in the leader of the people of Judah, Nashon, son of Amminadab, it says, it goes on to say in verse 10, let's skip ahead, Numbers 2:10. It says, on the south will be divisions of the camp of Reuben under their standard. And the leader of the people of Reuben is Eleazar, son of Shedeur. At verse 17, the tent of the meeting and the camp of the Levites will set out in the middle of the camps, and they will set out in the same order as they encamp, each in his own place under his standard. Verse 18 says, on the west will be divisions of the camp of Ephraim under their standard, the leader of the people of Ephraim. Verse 25, on the north will be the divisions of the camp of Dan under their standard, the leader of the people of Dan. It goes on to say these things, church, and it is showing us in these few verses, it is showing us, and I want us to understand what is taking place here. What is actually taking place was there was a placement of the tribes around the tabernacle. The tabernacle was what? It was the presence of God. So was there was a placement of people. There was tribes that they were being organized around the presence of God, each man under his banner. And the lesson is this, is that each believer has to take their place under the standard of Christ and stand fast under the banner of God's family. How many of you know that we're all children in the family of God? Amen? We are all God's children. But God has called us each to our own work. Amen? He has called you each to your own ministry, to your own giftings. The Lord has given you different anointings. The Lord has given you a different calling. But we all gather around what? The presence of God. We all gather for that one reason. We can come from different backgrounds, from different tribes, different families, different generations of types of people, but we are all a part of the family of God. And so this people, their mission was to camp around the tabernacle in a square formation, and they were to march in the same formation. And that formation had placed the tabernacle in the very middle of God's people. So if you could picture like a square and people all moving in this square shape with the presence of God in the center, and then if they were asked to move another direction, the presence of God went with them. But they moved in a uniform manner. They moved in a similar mind manner that each one had their place. Each one had their own unique work to do. But they never lost sight of the presence of God. They never lost sight of the covenant of God. They never lost sight of his tabernacle. And so they had to know their relationship not only with each other. Each individual had to know their place within the tribe, and each tribe had to know its place in relationship to the other tribes. They had to understand what their roles were. And as they understood these things, the most important part, church, was that the presence of God was the focus. If you lose sight of the presence of God, you have lost sight of God himself. But if you stay focused in this, the Lord is the center of what you do. That you don't leave God behind in your day. You don't leave God behind in your workplace. And I know they might tell you to do that in the workplace, like, oh, you can't say that at work, or you can't pray at work, or you can't, you know, be forward about your beliefs or your testimony. Listen, the Lord must remain at the center. Amen? I said, the Lord must remain at the center. I don't care who you work for. You work for him. The moment that you said yes to Jesus, you are now enlisted, the Bible says, in the Lord's army. And the Bible says that those who are enlisted in the army of God do not get entangled in civilian affairs. That means that we do not lose sight of what it is that God has called us to do. We stay with the presence of God in mind. He becomes the axis point around which the church and the body of Christ functions. We pray because the Lord told us to pray. We bless others because the Lord has told us to bless others. We speak out the gospel because the Lord has given us the message to speak. It was he who was going to lead his people to the promised land. It was he who was going to give them that strength to conquer the pitfalls that they were going to have to come along and those enemies that they would endure along the way. It was the Lord who was going to give them the victory. But if they had marched forward on their own, without God telling them to march, they were absolutely going to be doomed. There was no way that the people of God would be successful because they would have moved beyond the Lord. I want us to get to a place, church, where we are sensitive enough to God in these times that we're living in that we don't do anything without His permission. That's really sensitive. You say, well, Pastor Duke, I mean, Lord knows I got to get up and go to work. That's okay. You take time to speak with Him before you go to work. You take time to dwell in His presence before you speak a word to your family. You take time to open His word and see what He has to tell you, what He has to speak into your life. Listen, sometimes we think that God's going to be okay because you got a lot of work to do and you got to get up early to get those things done and you got places to go, people to see. Listen, consult with the Lord first. Don't leave Him out of what you do. You can be prospered in the world's standards, but you can be completely bankrupt in the eyes of God. You can be completely bankrupt and parched before the Lord. The Lord wants us to be sensitive to Him again, church. It was He who was going to give help to the Israelites. He was going to guide them in everything that they needed. And so every individual in that camp, beyond question, they had to know their relationship with God. Do you know that you're saved tonight? Is there physical evidence of the Holy Spirit on your life? Too many messages have been preached to make people believe that there's something that they're actually not. That's a good time to say amen. Say, oh, I call you blessed. I call you favored by God, this and that. And they're living a completely ungodly, unholy life before the Lord. There's zero evidence of the fruit of this Holy Spirit in their life. But yet somehow they're convinced that they're okay with God. You're only okay with God when you have said yes to Jesus and His Holy Spirit has entered into your life and you've repented of your sin. That's when you're right with God. When you've received the work of salvation of Jesus Christ in your life, that's when you're right with God. And from that point comes transformation. The Bible says that the old is gone and the new has come. There's evidence that the Lord is in your life. There's evidence that God is working in you. These people had to understand their relationship with God. They had to know where they stood amongst God's people, and they had to know under what banner God has called them to march. There's a lot of banners in our world today, church. There's a lot of banners that are representative of things that God has never approved of. There's a lot of banners that are being lifted high in this day and age that we are living in that God absolutely detests. And dare I say, if the church has participated in the lifting of banners that God Himself will one day tear down with the power of His glory and the might of His holiness. Some of y'all are scratching your head like this going, like, oh my God, it's getting a little crazy in here right now. That's just the truth. It's okay. Receive the truth. I'm glad that June is about to end because I've seen a banner everywhere I go that God absolutely detests. You all know what I'm talking about. Say amen. Amen. We have to lift high the banner of Jesus louder and higher and even more obnoxious than the agendas that are being pushed back on the church. Can somebody say amen? There's something to be said about order and structure, and that's all good, church. It's so important to understand where you belong in the kingdom of God is the key to you fulfilling God's plan for your life. But how many of you know that the church today does not fall under this standard that we've got to organize and assemble that the way that these men did in these days? Let me tell you something tonight. There aren't levels of access anymore like there was back then. It used to be that you had to go through the high priest, right, to get to the presence of God. Now, Jesus is our access point. Now, every single one of us, because Christ gave His life for you and I, has access to the throne room of God. That should make you excited. That should make us, you know, just be boiling up in our spirits and knowing that, oh my God, I actually can meet with Jesus. I can actually, you know, fellowship with God. Yes, you can. You can. God is available for you right here, right now, church. The presence of God is available for you here, right now. You don't have to wait for me to invite you into the presence of God. The Holy Spirit can encounter you right there where you are. The Holy Spirit is that powerful. Jesus is our access point. He is that very person that we go to for both the young and the old, the new or the mature. It doesn't matter where you are. He is our access. He is our banner. He is our standard. There is no need for a priest anymore to be between God's people and their access to God, but Jesus is the way, and his word is the plan, and his word is the standard. You know that the Holy Spirit is the power and the fuel to accomplish all that the Lord desires to do in your life. The Holy Spirit is that very thing that we need that takes us from being just in the natural to doing the supernatural, to be living out that which God has ordained us to do. And so we must ask ourselves an important question tonight. How do we take a people, that is you and I, with different strengths and weaknesses, differences and attitudes, backgrounds and traditions, and meld them together for one purpose? How do we take people with different standards, banners, family lives, and incorporate them to fulfill the purpose of God in their life? I love this verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 12. It says, in Judah, the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind to carry out what the king and his officials had ordered, following the word of the Lord. How many of you know, church, that the word is still the standard? If you have your Bible, I want you to lift it up in the air right now. And if it's on your phone, it's okay. I'll let you lift your phone. But I am a little upset. You should have brought your Bible. All right, you got your Bibles. There we go. Everyone say this. Say, the word is still the standard. Say it one more time like you mean it. The word is still the standard. This book has not expired, church. The world wants us to believe that somehow this thing has lost its flavor, that somehow this is old news. This is not good news, but this is some religious system that God wants to enforce upon people so that they can just live lives how they want. No, 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 my friend. This is the word of God. This word has the power to transform. This word has the power to dispel every single lie that the enemy has tried to force into the lives of your family and our children. This word, church, is still the standard. Somebody say amen tonight. This word is still the standard. It has not changed. It has not changed, church. It has not changed. We cannot lose sight of that. I love what Pastor said, you know, some time ago. We were talking and he just shared this with me, and I don't remember exactly what the conversation entailed, but he said this. He said, listen, son. He said, this book is the ender of all arguments. He said, somebody's got a question about identity. It's the ender of arguments. Somebody's got a question about how you're supposed to treat people. It's the ender of arguments. It settles every debate. If we would come back to the one thing that is undebatable, which is the word of God, the Bible says that the what? That the heavens and the earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord, what? It remains forever. This thing does not finish. This thing is still as powerful today, church, as it was 6,000 years ago. How many of you know that verse in 2 Timothy 3:16? Who knows it? Somebody know it? 2 Timothy 3:16, for the word of God? No. Who knows it? It's what? It is useful for what? Correcting, teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. Did I get them all? Yeah, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is God-breathed. It is God-breathed. It's the inspiration of the word. It is what he said, church. And it's still that. It is still that. It is still the standard. When people want to set up an agenda against what God has said, listen, we have one defense, church. And we have one standard. And we say, this is what the Word of God says. The problem with people today is this, is that they want to pick out one thing that God has said, and they don't want, they want to admit the rest of the story. Well, yeah, but God said this, and they want to admit everything else that God has said. This word, if you know it, if you've read it, if you have read its pages, you will find a good and loving father. You will find a perfect son. You will find a perfect love in this Bible. But people just want to tear out the page that they want to focus on and say, oh no, God's mean and God's going to send everybody to hell and all this stuff. No, he sent his son to earth. Man, if God wanted to send everyone to hell, he wouldn't have sent Jesus to the earth. I'm sorry, but I got two beautiful girls and I wouldn't give them up for anybody. I'm being honest. But God had a son, and he says, listen, I'm willing to give my son as the sin payment, the very thing that will atone sin, that will make you right in the eyes of the Father. I'm willing to give my son so that they could know me, so that they could live in eternity in peace, in the presence and in the glory of God. You cannot tell me that God is not loving. You cannot tell me that God is just some angry person in the sky that's wanting to just rain down wrath and judgment upon the earth. 2 Peter 3:9 has just been this verse that has just been in my spirit. I don't want to say I can't get it out of my spirit, but I just can't. It's just there. It's been there. How many of you know the verse 2 Peter 3:9? Pull it up there, guys. I don't think I put it in the notes, but I want everyone to be able to read it. 2 Peter 3:9. It says, for the Lord is not slow as some understand slowness. We got it? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I believe that a lot of people have been crying, saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. And the Father's looking up there and he's saying, there's still a few that are not ready. He's holding back. He's holding back out of mercy. He's holding back out of love, church. He's holding back out of goodness. He's saying, I'm giving you a chance. I'm giving you a chance. I'm giving you a third chance, a millionth chance. I'm giving you a chance. And church, I believe he's giving us a chance. If you got to get right with him. It's okay. I think we need to loosen up again and dispel the lie that the enemy wants us all to believe, that sometimes when an altar call is made, we want people to think like we're perfect, so we just stay there stiff. In our pew, we don't want to move. And the Lord's like ready to meet you. The Lord's ready to pour out on you. Listen, we have to have humility in the house of God again. Amen. We're all sinners. It's okay. We're in a hospital. We're all sick. We all need Jesus. Not any one of us is living a flawless life. That would be foolishness to believe so. We all have things that we have to ask God for grace for. We all have things, church, that we have to ask God for forgiveness for on a daily basis. But I believe that even the Lord is giving you time to understand, church, that there's work to be done. There's work to be done. If we have to repent and say, Lord, I've sat on the sidelines for too long, then Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm going to speak. I'm going to share, Lord. I'm going to bless. I'm going to help. Whatever it is that you're calling me to do, Lord, I'm going to live for you, completely surrendered.